to Jurassic Park.
Howdy folks, I'm Wayne.
I'm Darren.
I'm Kieran, and I liked the last Transformers movie.
Oh, deal with it. The fucking tables get flipped.
And I'm enjoying where Ridley Scott's going with the Alien
franchise.
He's
a dick.
What are we gonna do?
That franchise up. I'm not being nice.
Fans like you, Darren.
Yes, it's toxic fans like me. But yet, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And
yeah, man. You do, man. Sorry.
Yeah, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
We're going in hot mess.
I had to say this. A friend of mine, Barry, was actually disappointed that he didn't have a classic episode to listen to.
We had the Neil Gaiman talk.
I was very surprised, but just people in there to listen. He's like, Darren, where was the classic episode? I'm like, what? And I was like, I wanted to hear you guys old school. And I was like, I'll tell Wayne.
Well, the next episode, I'm in the middle of doing some audio sorcery on a recording that Kieran did with PJ Holden.
Mm-hmm.
For the
it's now come down to a bet as to whether it can actually be put out there or
fixed. Because what happened was, Kieran did a recording with PJ Holden about the world of comics and multiple different things.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be a kind of a cross platform joint adventure
between all of our
podcasts. Pubcast, the Sunnyside cast, and the Comic City cast. But I got the audio file given to me to kind of edit and kind of trim a few bits off.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it, and the audio quality is just...
You can't hear it.
It's bad.
Is it as bad as Alien vs. Predator Requiem, where you can't see anything?
You mean that Prometheus movie?
No, that's Requiem.
Requiem was good compared to that. No.
So the problem with it is that there's a few kind of audio... glitches in it.
Yeah.
And whenever PJ talks at for the first 20 minutes, it's just click, 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 click,
oh,
click,
no.
click.
Shit.
So I'm trying to do some noise reduction and some audio sorcery on it. So, in light of what your buddy has asked about the classic episodes, initially what was lined up for the next classic episode slot was the Sunnyside cross-platform podcast Comic City cast episode.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get the audio fixed.
Oh, now he's saying if.
There we go.
I've always said if. I'm pretty confident in my abilities to be able to edit and mix and clean up audio.
Good, because I've started a feud with PJ over this.
Feuds with PJ never end well.
Start sending in your likes, people.
Whether feuds with PJ end well. About these.
End with him topless.
Pretty much. And Rob Carey throwing chairs or something at a panel at the Comic City in San Dinos. So
there you go.
If I can fix the audio on this particular recording, that will be the next slot for where the classic episodes go.
Cool.
If I can't, there will be a classic episode in the slot for that.
So you can judge Wayne on his audio skills for that.
What you can judge is
the fact that people need to realise that they need to test their audio feeds before they press record. That's what we need to judge this on. Yes. Podcast.
Yes.
How have you guys been? It's been a few weeks.
Good.
Yeah?
Good.
Yeah.
All good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Very nerdy.
A lot of stuff is gone. A lot of stuff is coming. A few people have asked if we've seen the new Jurassic Park film.
No.
I haven't seen it.
Nope. Not yet.
You guys haven't seen it.
Nope.
And it's on the slate to be seen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest here. Nah.
Okay, really? Okay.
Nah, because I saw the second trailer and the second trailer made me go... The first trailer made me go, yeah... Parky stuff, cool. The second trailer made me go, wait, this is a horror movie with a weird version of a velociraptor in a house.
Yeah.
Yeah, not into
really?
It.
Really?
Why not?
Out.
I went halfway through it. La la la. But it's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Because you know what that's missing?
2 hours and 10 minutes.
The park!
But it starts in the park. The park gets destroyed.
Yeah.
It's no longer in the park. The park is gone.
I don't want...
It's an existential park.
I don't want an alien in a fucking haunted house with a velociraptor.
But that was
pretty much part of the plot of the first one. The velociraptor's hunting down the humans and opening doors.
Exactly.
And Jeff Goldblum going, life finds a way.
So, from what you've just told me, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
this trailer gave me Jeff Goldblum going, life finds a way.
Yeah.
And gave me, scary house. But the only thing that makes that house scarier is, it's a genetically modified raptor.
But that's been the... it's not dinosaurs.
I do not want the genetically modified thing to be the way this franchise goes. I think it's the wrong direction.
It's not the dinosaurs that kill people. It's the genetically engineered dinosaurs that kill
people. Guns don't kill people, rappers do. And so do the police.
Raptors with guns. Is that where we're heading?
Raptors with guns is Jurassic Raptors Park, Fallen World Part 2.
It's part 2, the
Raptors
revenge.
In space.
Yes.
Because that's the only place they're going to be going after this. It has to be.
No.
Jurassic Space.
Anybody catch the new season of Archer?
No.
No.
It ends with a very Ridley Scott ending next season.
Well, it doesn't make any sense and can't really finish up the timelines.
Ooh, deep cuts.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I was going more with the opens with the, you know, the sweeping shots inside of the ship.
Oh, very nice. So the actual proper beautiful opening to Alien.
And guess who the voice of Mother is?
It's Sigourney Weaver, isn't it?
No, the voice of Mother is Mother! From Archer.
Okay. Right. Sorry. I thought they were going to be fully on in-depth and go Sigourney Weaver.
No, Krieger's the robot. Of course he is.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense, actually. Krieger being Ash would make sense. So... We haven't seen Jurassic Park, but Kieran doesn't care. I do care.
I wanted to see
it. I did care. The second trailer made me not care.
But trailers lie to us.
I had to go
on. I don't give a shit about spoilers anymore, so I just ask people that have seen it, and it is exactly what I thought it would be.
Really?
So, like, yeah, no.
House of Raptors.
House of Raptors, yeah.
House of Raptors sounds pretty awesome.
It does, actually.
It does, but it's not a raptor. It's not...
It's a genetically engineered not raptor.
It's a fucking... we can't scare them with the regular dinos enough, so we have to give them bigger dinos. This is the fucking creature in Alien 4.
If the raptor came up that stairs,
The proto-human alien?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was shit.
You know what I mean?
So do they have to use an aerial?
Hang on, is Brad Dourif in this?
If Brad Dourif was in it, I'd probably go see it.
Yeah. If Brad Dourif is the reason why they make the genetically modified raptor.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. And then it gets eaten.
Yeah, that could be awesome. They hired a horror director to make this one, so therefore you should... when I saw his name attached to it, I was like, yeah. that's going to be a horror movie. Yeah. They're going to have the scares in there, hopefully. Yeah. But I heard this is us talking about a film we haven't fucking seen,
which is great because I love that, because then we could get it all wrong.
We could get it completely all wrong. And in retrospect, we'll be like, what were we talking about?
I will say it does look like Chris Pratt's lost the weight again.
Yay!
Look, let's not judge the man on his ups and downs of Donald.
If our actors remain healthy, they last longer and they can give us more films. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
So it's good that he's healthy.
What was the point I was trying to make?
I don't know. You were saying
What I heard was that apparently a lot of people have seen it. From the ending of this movie, they really, really want to see the next film now.
Okay.
So apparently the ending of Fallen Kingdom is meant to lead on to, well, it promises, it kind of seems to hint towards,
it's got to be dinos with guns, isn't it?
Dino guns in space.
Dino riders.
If it's Dino Riders, that'd be fucking awesome. But they were like
Dino Riders. That's they were the
like
it needs to
they
go.
Were like blind people with mind melding shit to do with dinosaurs.
All right, let me go one further. Yeah. Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. Maybe
better than my idea.
Maybe that's a whole. That's how they jumped the shark franchise wise. That Jurassic Park was actually the entirety of Jurassic Park was actually a prequel to a Cadillacs and dinosaurs franchise.
I would not mind that.
That would
be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or it's actually a prequel to the TV show Dinosaurs, and Chris Pratt actually voices the voice of the baby and just says not the mama for the entire movie.
So what you're saying is eventually Chris Pratt fucks a dinosaur.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah.
It's not. No, I mean,
he's got a rebound or two in his system.
Bryce hurt him.
She hurt him. Maybe he found solace in blue.
Blue.
Literally in blue.
Literally in blue.
lads, this is, we're printing money here.
We should be writing this down, lads.
Hot takes.
Really, like, seriously. Takes. Chris Pratt fucks blue, leads to a new race of super dinos who can talk.
Dinos. And are funny.
And are funny. And are funny. And go into the world of construction.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm down with this.
And then one develops a time machine, travels back in time to Chris and says, no, it's not you, it's your kids. Something has to be done with your kids.
One of them develops a time machine, travels back in time, and fucks a lizard, and then dinosaurs are born from that, and the cycle begins again.
Oh.
See what I mean? Printing money here, folks.
Yeah, I'm just gonna get.
So these are films
Grandfather Paradox, the Jurassic Park franchise,
yes,
and the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs franchise, and the Dinosaurs, the TV series franchise, not the mama.
Not the mama. Oh, but it was the first
9 minutes of the episode.
All right, we're done.
I think we're done.
Let's just listen to that.
We've peaked
for 90 minutes.
We've peaked
to dance.
Myself and D-Man had a very interesting conversation about video games before we started recording, and we were waiting for you to arrive.
Why didn't you do it before recording before I arrived too?
Well, here's the thing, right? It was about a franchise that I've got no real interest in, and D-Man has some interest in. Mm-hmm. And I only got dragged into it because a bunch of people wanted to play as a group. So I'm thinking, with regards to video games as a whole, though.
Yeah.
Multiplayer games seem to be a big deal, and single player games are gone the way of the
Fallout,
dodo.
The next Fallout is going to be all multiplayer.
Yeah, so this is leading into, like, did we watch E3 and any of us?
Yes, bits.
There was a viewing while I was having the barbecue last week, which neither of you came to because you don't love me, and it was my birthday, and you didn't care, you didn't even wish me happy birthday when I came.
I had a sick daughter.
Not that I'm bitter.
Not that he's
but
bitter.
Anyway, we had an E3 view, and
my daughter's fine, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the photos.
Yeah. For sake.
She's feeling better.
That's his excuse. What's yours?
Can't remember what mine was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because I was totally hung over.
Yeah. Anyway, was a viewing of E3.
Yes.
There was a viewing of E3 where Doc Cormick, Carey, and Fionn all barreled into my box room where my office is and stuck on E3 there for a few hours, and they would periodically
come down
up and come down for different things. I didn't watch it myself because I was cooking meat. But I'm not, you know, with me and games these days, I'm the opposite. I am the solo player. I fucking hate multiplayer games. I don't like listening to, when I play games, it would be just to escape for a few hours and fuck off.
No, that's why I play games for sure. And I only play multiplayer games when I have mates to play them, and I don't go online to MMOs that are like vast hordes of people that I don't interact with.
The only thing in the whole of the E3 thing that caught my attention was, I'm getting a sequel to that Doom game I loved.
Great. And Cyberpunk 2077 didn't float your fancy?
Roleplay, man. RPG games.
It's a first person shooter RPG game. Yeah. So this is the thing. It's from the people that made Witcher 3.
See, it still has that RPG part there.
Yeah, but you shoot things in the face.
You have the option of talking to them or shooting them in the face.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
burned out on Cyberpunk now, I'm honest.
I wonder why.
You just want to go down medieval fantasy.
Would it be funny?
Swords and sorcery.
No, I would love it. You bring out the comic and then you sit down to play this game and you're realizing that, wait a minute, we did that. What the
That's bound to happen for most writers.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the fucking time.
And you just go, fuck them. Fuck them.
So the Cyberpunk game really hit the headlines. People were like, oh my god. But the only thing they showed was full motion video. It was all fucking pre-rendered graphics type of stuff. You didn't get to see any gameplay.
No actual gameplay.
They showed gameplay at the show for people to see. The press got to see it, but there was no, you know, for the general public that didn't make it to E3, we didn't get to see any gameplay footage.
I did watch a bit of E3, but it won't interest you.
Who's wrestling?
The top guys from New Japan, who are massive video gamers, called the Elite, went against the top guys from WWE. And that can't happen in the wrestling world. So it became this big thing where they had a face-off in relation to Street Fighter V.
Oh, they played Street Fighter against each other. Yeah. Not wrestling, not the wrestling.
No. I mean, the Street Fighter, the last Street Fighter and the last Tekken game have both had partnerships with New Japan to feature characters from New Japan in their games.
Oh, very good.
So the character of Cody in Street Fighter V is based visually on Kenny Omega from New Japan.
Right.
So Kenny Omega was brought in to fight Xavier Woods from WWE. So it became the Elite from New Japan and the Bullet Club Elite from New Japan versus the New Day from WWE at this Street Fighter V contest that went on all night, and it was fucking brilliant. And it was just, I watched it for the crack.
Yeah.
Because in my world, WWE and New Japan do not mix. They
this
never.
Is, this was as close. As
so this is as close as you're actually going to get to see.
Cool, you know? That's fun.
And that was it was a big
stuff
deal.
Like that. Like, I mean, a lot of people gave out about E3 this year saying it was a damn squid, but I don't understand that because I saw these trailers of these games that really got me excited. And there are some titles I couldn't give a fuck about, but there are a lot of titles that I really am looking forward to. There's a new Call of Cthulhu game coming out, which I wasn't aware of.
Yes.
And then I saw a trailer and I just went,
we've been waiting. I think that
just sploosh everywhere.
It's been about a year waiting for it to come out, and I can't wait. because I've been playing a few Cthulhu board games, so like, and the appetite's
wet. I just didn't know they were making a video game of it, and I'm like, oh, I'm praying for it to be fucking good. Praying for all the old guys.
I love it. Yeah. Sploosh all over the place.
The Cyberpunk game, yes, interested in seeing
Fallout,
that. Because
Fallout 76.
Fallout, I couldn't give a fuck about.
But that's why it's either hit or miss. It's like, you either like it, or as my brother says, it's glitchy as fuck. Why the fuck would you want to play it? Because it's Fallout. Because it's Fallout. I got to go in there now.
Bored, tits off me. They really do.
But I loved it.
I've explained this before. I just don't have. I wish I had time to throw four or five hours into a game.
You do need it.
Because I just don't.
I only have. I have one night a week that I sit down and I go, right, this is my gaming night. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm playing a multiplayer or single player, this is my gaming night. And then I have my Switch that I play on the go on the bus or whatever. And when I'm travelling on the train, I'll play my Switch. So I have one night a week and I play with the lads. We play Destiny, or we play, we recently played the Space Hulk Deathwing game.
Nice.
Which is one of me and Darren were talking about. We were a bit let down by, but now we're moving on to Diablo 3, which I've actually never played. And funnily, I don't know how I missed it. I completely missed the Diablo craze. Never got into it. But now I'm getting into I'm going to start playing Diablo 3 with a bunch of lads. That'll be my Thursday night gaming session.
But I used to love, because like, it reminds me of when I used to play D&D. Like, it's this open world.
This is
I,
Diablo, you know, is it?
No, I'm still talking. Sorry, I'm still talking. The reason I love Fallout is because I kind of just roam. I go to, because I've got this big, huge, open-ended map. I don't know what's out there, but I'm going out on my own and it's all up to me to survive. And then, yeah, occasionally I interact with people and there is the plot of the game, but I tend to, for ages, go wandering.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, when I know I'm kind of like, yeah, I've been playing this for about a year, then I'll finish the game. But the fact that I have that, but it's going to be with mates as well. The option with mates, I think that's what I'm looking forward to. But
I've seen that, but I've heard about the fact that, like, the one thing I don't want, the Fallout games, I played Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
I played part of Fallout 4.
Yeah.
On somebody else's system. Didn't really grab me. I have tried. I love the original
I
love the original Fallout games, right? Mm-hmm. I thought they were great fun. That was back in the day. The newer ones, I have played them. They didn't grab me. I was bored, and I don't like the way the gun system, the gunplay system is, where you freeze, zoom in.
That's all. I love that. What's that called again?
It's the
AP.
There's a particular name for it. I can't remember the name of it. People are going to be shouting it at their.
Yeah, it's going to annoy me too. But I love that, because that's all. That's an extra kind of part, because you've got your pimp boy. You're able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a special ability that only you have.
Your pimp boy.
Pip boy.
It's pip.
I know. I'm deliberately.
Darren,
it's like, yeah.
Don't say pimp boy.
Vats. It's called vats. That's what it is.
But
vats.
But it's the only thing that you can do because you have it, and
it's
kind of like I like that.
It basically,
I
don't know if you ever played Fallout, Kieran, but basically, when you see a bad guy, the game freezes, and you zoom into their body parts, and you pick a body part to shoot, and then it's kind of like a dice roll. The damage.
Well,
you
can get bits. You level up, so you can get.
And as soon as that started to happen, I was kind of going.
Yeah,
can I not just shoot this cunt?
You see how I'm falling asleep?
But you don't have to use that.
I know you don't have to use that, but I mean, it was a big part of the game, and I was like, oh, okay, fine, I'll give this a go. And I played through the game. I finished Fallout 3 like that. Done.
Yeah,
happy days. Done. Grand. And I saw the.
I love the building aspect in 4 now, where you can build your like
base.
Like,
and stuff.
You know the first city or the first town you're in.
Yeah,
I built a metallic wall all around that. Right, which I don't think many people, like, all around, I spent forever. This is what I mean about getting lost in it. So much so that on my way back, one of the big fuck-off creatures, it was weird. It's as if it was kind of like, I can only get it as like as if this were a movie and everyone was acting. And one of the person came out of the character he's playing, kind of going, what the fuck? Because he's there hitting the wall, and he's kind of going, what the fuck is this doing? Like, what am I meant to do? I'm meant to get in there, and I just started watching it for a bit. And then he's like, what am I meant? I'm about to kill you, and I was like, ah, shit. It's like stuff like that, I like, you know?
No, I just the new Fallout game 76, it's meant to be, it's an online multiplayer game, and they're bringing in nuclear warheads into it, so people eventually will get to a point where they can get nuclear launch codes.
There. Fat boys.
Yeah, fire. Fat boys. But this is apparently this is actual nuclear strikes on people's bases.
Oh,
this is what I heard. So you're gonna get to a level where you can just order a strike on somebody's hometown and boom, gone.
I'm sure you can order you'll have stuff to
shoot. Like Patriot missiles and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if I like that aspect, but that's all. Seriously, I haven't seen anything out yet.
Big in America right now, they're mad
mad for nuking.
Not mad for technical strikes.
I'm just Like, again, that didn't light my fire. But there were other games that did. And also the new Destiny DLC that's coming out. I'm really sure can't wait. Forsaken looks amazing. So, yeah, I think... And there was... I felt Nintendo were probably the weakest out of all of them with the games that they announced. For me, the Switch is about indie titles that I can pick up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm now playing Battle Chasers Nightmare on the go.
Woo!
Which is fucking phenomenal. And I love that game. I had it on the PS4. I played so far into it. Then I heard it was being announced on the Switch. I'm like, no, I'm going to actually not finish that. I'm going to wait for it to be on the Switch and I'm going to start it again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what people were giving out about the fact that no Borderlands 3 stuff was announced, because the Randy, the developer, the head of the Gearbox, had already said, we are not going to announce Borderlands 3 at E3. And they've then E3 came and went, and people were like, he didn't announce Borderlands 3.
But he said he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're not going to lie to you.
Yeah. So, you know, they can fucking suck it. But no, I think for a lot of people, the Cyberpunk game was a big thing for E3. Massive announcement. The new awesome. Kojima game, Death Stranding, confused the bollocks out of a lot of people. But I buy anything Kojima makes. I think it looks phenomenal. Great cast. They brought back Lindsay Wagner from retirement.
I had to tell someone who that was.
The Bionic Woman. And they've de-aged her. Yeah, made her look like she looks like in the 70s. And she's doing the voice. And I don't know what character she's playing. She's linked with the Norman Reedus character in some way. But it looks batshit crazy. And I like that.
I'm more intrigued than I was, but I'm more lost than I was.
It's one of those games that you're kind of going, I've no idea what this is about. Whereas all the other titles, like, you know, like you're talking about a new Doom game, talking about the Cyberpunk game.
I've realised I've reached that, even though I'm not a dad, I've reached that dad level of gaming where I'm like, I just want to play new versions of the old games that I like.
Yeah, well, this is what I was. I forgot it, and I was like, what's that game that I'm really looking forward to? And I've forgotten. They're remastering, building it from the ground up, Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
That will be a game where I will literally take a week off and I'll sit there and I'll go back to the manager or go back to Raccoon City.
I'll get you with those hot member berries.
Yeah. Oh,
but that's what hot drizzling member berries all down your mouth.
Or if it's anything like the. Sorry, it's not a remaster because it's the one from the GameCube. But even when they did it for the GameCube, they changed loads of kick-ass stuff for the better, and the graphics were better. If they do half of that...
I don't think I ever finished that. I have it on the GameCube.
It's brilliant. Like, but I would gladly go back and play Resident Evil 2 for a week. You know, I'll probably finish it in a day or two.
Oh, it's one of the best games ever made.
I'm going back to play a taking all the good bits, adding story that they've developed. That's what they did with Resident Evil. Like, I haven't actually killed that zombie. So shouldn't that be mutating like in the other games? And that's what they did. If you didn't shoot a zombie in the head, it would mutate into those wriggle monsters. So if you came back into that room a couple of hours later, it was harder to kill. That's why you also had the great belt where you could, if a zombie got too close, you could stab it in the head, or my favorite, you could put a grenade in its mouth, back away and shoot it and explode. And this is, as I said, this is what they did for that. So what the hell are they going to bring in? What have they done to Resident Evil 2? Because that trailer, I couldn't remember any, because I'm presuming that that's all stuff from Resident Evil 2, but better graphics and whatnot. But part of me is thinking maybe that was all new stuff. I haven't asked anyone because I don't want to ruin it for me.
Who knows?
But I can't, like, people always give out about remastering stuff, but they've done Resident Evil.
They make their cash, man. That's why Nintendo have built an entire platform of games on just redoing old titles or redoing licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how many Zelda games have we got? How many Mario games have we got? How many Mario Kart games? They announced Super Smash Bros. Melee again, a new one with literally every character that's ever been in Smash Bros. Plus a couple of new ones.
Except wasn't that weird?
I
wasn't in it. I seen the memes and I'm like, oh, that's
not
horrible.
Wario, the Luigi version of Wario.
Yeah, no one likes you. You're not in it. What?
Yeah. While Luigi is not
Are you going to the party for the revamping of the game?
No,
I'm not.
What, I remember somebody shared a meme of... somebody shared a meme or a picture of a Waluigi like plush toy just face down in the puddle. And that was like the announcement for Smash Brothers. I was like, but yeah, they're bringing back Smash Brothers for the Switch, and it's like every Smash Brothers character ever apart from Waluigi.
Another thing that made me, I actually didn't see the announcement, someone had to tell me, but the Prey DLC got announced, and the reason I'm kind of going what is because
that game is like 12 quid now to buy on
the PC. It's brilliant if you haven't played it. It's kind of like if you've played System Shock 2, you'll see straight away like loads of stuff. Well, same with Bioshock. If you play Bioshock, you'll see the relation to System Shock 2, but this is actually on a space station, so it's more in relation to System Shock 2. But yeah, it's the DLC not only got announced, but it was already released. It was like, yeah, go now and get it. And I'm like, what? You're on the moon, and every time you play it, it's different.
Every time you die,
now I'm wondering if you get so far and you don't save it, do you start at the beginning or you can't save? That's what's got me kind of going, hmm. But it's a fucking brilliant game if you haven't played it, play.
I think overall E3, I don't know why people are saying it was shit. I really enjoyed a lot of the announcements that came out about it. Maybe that's just me. I wasn't expecting anything spectacular about new particular games, but what I got, I really wanted to see, and I looked phenomenal.
So there you go. And Kenny Omega went over Xavier Woods.
And yeah, Kieran got something out of it as well. You got your wrestling fix at E3. Yeah.
I didn't, well, I got it on Being the Elite, their own web series afterwards. I didn't watch it at E3.
So there you are. I haven't picked up my new comics yet, right? But Marvel have reset against number ones. And I think somebody
not on every book,
but some. Now that's I've signed up for one. I've signed up for Doctor Strange.
Up until recently, when it got to 25 and then reset, that's when I was like, enough's enough. But I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the artwork that was being done. This monster that Doctor Strange was feeding all his bad stuff to that actually became sentient. He did the look of you, but I loved it. But that's all that matters.
Did you like it?
Didn't like the Doctor Strange one, but mainly because I've just come off the Jason Latorre run, and I'm like, this writing's piss next to that.
Really, is it bad?
But don't let it ruin you, you might enjoy it. I don't want to do any more Doctor Strange.
I'm currently of the mood of, I'm at that time of year again, lads, where I'm like, let's just do a big old cull. And I've stuck to my guns with my cull, so I'm happy with that.
I've cut down a lot and I've only jumped on two titles.
Blink got Wolverine claws this week.
Oh no.
How
many Wolverines is that now?
They were up to 21.
Fucking
hell. My friend, it was 15, but I could only mention 3 in work.
Yeah, 21
were. And did you see you were mentioned about they've killed off a certain X-Men. But then I read the site that they brought her back. They couldn't even fucking stick to their guns, killing her off.
Look,
I was like, for fuck's sake, lads.
Look, I'm a bit dejected with Marvel at the moment. I'm just a bit like, look, I'm really trying here, lads. All right, I'll give it this. The best thing I've read all year from Marvel was a book entirely outside of their continuity line, and it was by Ed Piskor, and it was X-Men Grand Design. That book should be read by everybody.
I didn't like the artwork of the book. You told me about this, actually.
Yeah.
I have it at home, but I've been
hand-drawn,
put off by the
artwork. Hand-lettered, hand-fucking... The artwork is deliberately done to evoke Jack Kirby, John Byrne, and all of the creators of that era. He's doing it in the form of 6 issues over 3 years. He's doing one issue per 6
already.
Months, right?
Yeah.
And it's breaking the X-Men eras up into the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the eras that he's doing in this collection. And this is the guy formerly behind the Hip Hop History of Comics.
Oh, very nice.
And he's doing his take on X-Men history and making it all one story through the eyes of Uatu.
Cool.
And tying shit together. And it's just... The collected edition, they printed it deliberately on a paper that makes it smell like old comic books.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And that is... When Marvel do projects like that, I'm all in.
Well, it's kind of like... type of shit always reminds me of like why records label support shitty pop music. It's so they can actually pay the indie bands to make their really good albums.
Yeah.
You know,
but
it's...
There's... I don't know. Like, the X-Men main books... They just aren't doing it for me at the moment. Jean Grey's Resurrection, while the issues itself was great, everything since has been kind of eh.
I haven't. I'm anemic. Not feeling that. I'm not feeling. I'm enjoying it. When I'm reading, I'm enjoying it. But suppose I.
When you're
I
looking
tend
at
it
at the grander Marvel design, you are way too.
What was the Astonishing X-Men just recently with X-Man coming back?
Phantom
or,
X. Or Charles X. Xavier is resurrected through the by his consciousness going into the body of Phantom X.
I thought that was okay.
So he becomes. X,
right? Yeah, and he's younger now.
Does X give it to you?
Well, no, Wolverine.
Well, he gave it to the Shadow King, and the Shadow King said, "Bitch, please."
Have you read issue 12?
I can't remember.
It finishes that story.
Spoilers? When is the issue 12?
Well, I don't give a fuck about spoilers. It's all ages comics.
Well, it's they're fighting, and next of all. X goes and his head explodes, and out comes the Shadow King.
Of course,
spider form.
Of course, right.
I was happy with that, with X being dead, and then I got issue 12, which ties it up, and I'm reading it, and it's there's a narrator, and I'm watching, I'm looking at this lovely spread Charles of the Shadow King,
Francis
fat
Xavier
Shadow King with his spider legs,
yeah,
depressing and kicking the shit out of the X-Men, and I'm like, yes, Xavier's dead, this is happening, next page. That narrative is, oh, it's X. Oh, fuck, don't tell me, continue reading. Next of all, Xavier's on the ground with his head split, and he just stands up and goes,
yeah, because it's on Charles Xavier.
I'm just like, oh really? And then they defeat the Shadow King. They ask with the help of Psylocke. They ask everybody for their psychic powers to defeat the Shadow King. Defeat him, shrink him. Now here's the thing: he squishes him, picks him up, and throws him away.
Listen, the Shadow King is always all shirt and no trousers.
He's not dead. He's
Shadow King's never dead.
But what I did like is at the end where they're like, well, the second last page where they're like, did you know that when we were linked with everyone else, that there was a lot more psychers than we thought exist, and they're like, oh, we should find them. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then like Xavier goes, oh yeah, I'm gonna mind wipe everybody, and yeah, don't tell anyone I'm alive. And I'm like, could you just have left them dead then?
Yeah, so Xavier's back,
but no one knows he's back.
So we're now in a reverse Phoenix situation from a few years ago where Cyclops is dead and Xavier is dead and Jean Grey is dead. The only one of the three that isn't dead now is Cyclops.
But this annoys me because, like, they brought.
Why
like,
should it?
What they did? No, what
the
they did.
The core basis of the X-Men. The core basis of the X-Men is resurrection.
But why bring everyone back bar Cyclops? Like literally.
Give it a year. I reckon that's going to be the next big reveal that Cyclops is coming back from the dead.
The next, if you're going to do Cyclops and he's coming back from the dead, they are sowing the seeds right now. Whenever anybody addresses the monster Cyclops was, somebody else readdresses it and goes,
he wasn't.
That was Emma Frost the whole time.
Yeah, he didn't do what he did.
He didn't do what you all thought he did. And they're now going to spend a year putting that idea into people's heads so that when they do eventually bring him back, he can be a good guy again. That's what they're doing. That's a long play.
As I said, I was so happy when people were dead.
No, I'm down with it. Fucking one of these days, man. President Cyclops, you watch. I'm telling you,
that's a bit Norman Osborn-y, Lex Luthor-y type thing, though, isn't it?
No, but you do it the other fucking way. He's actually fucking noble.
Yeah, a good guy in power, for once.
Finally build the bridge between humanity and fucking mutants.
Yeah, but that's like a happy ending.
But fuck the Inhumans, like.
Well, we're never getting. You would think that bringing the young X-Men into the future and showing them what they become would give us.
Bendis is gone before they did.
They're doing those fucking pages of the world. This is 20 years, and you're only getting one page. Every couple of issues.
It is really fucking annoying me.
It's still Sentinels, nothing new.
It's really fucking annoying me that I'm reading Bendis over at DC and they still haven't finished that fucking X-Men story.
They should have, but he should have said before I leave, I want to finish my work.
He did. The ones he cared about. What does that say?
That's kind of a Grant Morrison move where he just breaks all the toys and then goes, right, there you go, lads, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Because I read Requiem of the Wreckers there.
The Transformers book.
The last in the trilogy of the Wreckers. And the one thing I remember, it was a really great read, but the one thing I couldn't get over, speaking of breaking people's toys, is Nick built up Cup and made him really, really kick ass and awesome.
Of course he did.
And then, I haven't read the rest of the comics because I'm still angry, but at the end of issue one of Visionaries versus Transformers, they just kill Cup for no reason. And at the beginning, the first page, the beginning, they're running around with his head. And I'm like, I'm just so angry. There was advertisements on the back saying, we're killing off Cup. And I don't care if people spoil it, but I haven't heard anything as to why it was a justification. But thankfully, in the book we're given, there's flashbacks to when Cup is. It's all about finishing off Springer's story, you know. And I won't give too much away, but there's lovely flash. That's how he brought him back. He did flashbacks of seeing Springer being handed to the Wreckers for the first time, and you know you see Cup's really skinny, and I can't remember what the. I can't remember the process of what they did to Springer, to Cup, to make him not look as skinny as he was. But it's a really, really great, really, really great comic. I should recommend. Anyone that's a Transformers fan has read it. But I was savoring it because I knew this is kind of it. You know.
Yeah.
Once I read this, we're into Unicron territory, and then it's over. Or is it? I don't know. But it was really, really cool. Overlord comes back. He's like a trip that. triple changer. So the more alt modes you have, the more powerful you are. Springer, he can do two. Overlord, he can do three. The original story was with they fought
Springer
Overlord
was like a car, helicopter, and a robot.
Yeah, but that's two alt modes.
Two alt modes. Okay.
It's a triple changer, right?
Changer. But like they fought Overlord in the first one. He's come back, but he every time you think he's dead, he's not. And then again, he appears in this book. Actually, he's actually disguised as a human. And Springer,
he's one of those pretenders, is he?
Yeah. If Springer comes in and Springer's been mind wiped. He comes in and he shoots, and you think he's killing someone, but it actually turns out that Overlord has been hidden in the skin suit, and he comes out and battling suits. And I won't say any more, but I thought it was a really, really how the battle finally ends is really cool. What happens to Impactor? What happens to the rest of the guys? How they deal with Overlord is in fact you'll love it. But cool. Will I spoil it? Will I say
no? Don't spoil it. I will eventually, because I have the other two record stories. Cool. I want to get this one as well.
This I love the first one. The second one is always with a sequel, you're a bit wary, but the end is great, and I appreciate 2 and 1 even more now.
Cool.
For getting it, and it's nice that they, you know, I would have loved to see What If.
Hmm.
You know, because apparently I think they from reading the back of the book, they were saying that they had a longer story in the works, but then whatever happened, they had to do just one self-contained
cool.
annual size. But yeah, it does it.
You can tell what happened. Hasbro sold Transformers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of hoping that maybe there'll be a miracle at the end where, you know, they don't and Cup didn't.
It is kind of crazy, actually. Like, I was watching, I think you guys watched it as well, The Toys That Made Us on Netflix.
Yeah. Yes.
The Transformers episode. I watched it after, like, following on from, like, what had happened with Transformers and stuff like that. Like, watching that episode and seeing, like, everything, that how they came about. It's just, like, that whole series is just fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That and the He-Man episode as well. I actually haven't watched the Star Trek episode. That's one I haven't watched.
I've watched the He-Man one now. That's one because I collected a lot of He-Man when I was a kid.
Oh, He-Man one is great.
Like, I had
He-Man
all.
One is really,
I don't know where
good.
The fucking went. That's the thing. I think I buried them under the back somewhere. I know I buried G.I. Joe in the garden underneath. I digged a hole to make a kick-ass cave, right? And
what's a segue?
I don't know, what's a segue? And I put them up, and this is before cameras. So I had this really, really cool, like, my G.I. Joe versus Cobra and in this underground cave, you know, and then I think the thing fell down on
them. Were these G.I. Joe or were these Action Force? Because we had Action Force.
Because they called them G.I. Joe in the cartoon.
We had the shit G.I. Joe over this side of the pond. We didn't
have playing with the fucking GoBots of G.I. Joe, man.
GoBots sold for quite some time. Do you see that? And then towards the end, they went.
Of course they sold, because they were cheap and shy.
And they were out before Transformers.
They were, actually.
But they were
6 months.
They were shy action figures. They really were. I had a Leader One, and I had a Cyclor, and
they really weren't trying with the names.
They weren't at all. But they were pants. And then you had. But the thing about it is, though, you had the GoBots and the Rock Lords.
Rock Lords were cool.
Remember that?
No.
Did you just say the
Rock Lords were cool?
Yeah.
They're robots that transform into rocks.
You weren't bully as a kid, were you? I was never touched when I had one of them in my hand.
You thought you had a big brick in your hand. Threatened.
That's why I think they were cool.
Because they fought off people. You actually fought people.
Bullies would walk by, see you playing with a transformer, go nerd, go to kick the shit out of you. You quickly.
But transformers were cool when we were a kid. They were cool.
They were
toys.
Still assholes. They were still asshole people.
Assholes are.
That's what I mean. Like, the Rock Lords were brilliant because you.
Darren, did you just make up excuses to throw Rock Lords at people?
Yes. Well, no, I didn't have an excuse back then. I would just.
You just did it.
Just
so you were the asshole.
No, they were going to bully me, and
you just got there first.
You just preempted their bullying.
Yeah.
Okay,
right. So you're the Donald.
Although
Trump
I was really, really nice
things.
With my Voltron, and would actually share with kids. And go,
but you could kill people if you hit them with Voltron.
I wouldn't. Don't do that.
I'm not saying you did, but the Black Lion was made of solid metal.
You needed to do weights
before
you. It was
a beast of a toy.
You had to do weights before you could pick up.
Like, I remember I got that for Christmas, and I was whatever age I was. I was 10 or something when I got Voltron. What I couldn't fucking believe. I got Voltron.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing was made of die-cast metal. Mm-hmm. It was fucking huge and it was so heavy.
Fucking
and they haven't replicated that for
no,
the new Voltron
they
toys.
They're
like fucking shitty plastic.
But I hear that it's nice on your shelf. I haven't caved in to get it yet.
I've stopped myself every single time I've gone to look on eBay for the original Voltron line set. I say it's worth a couple of grand now, because I had that, my little brother ruined it. He stuck crayons and all the you remember on the blue line and the yellow line, you could pick the middle centre.
There was
of
so
the,
much extra stuff extra on that thing you had to
discover
told.
And you pull up, there's a central piece on each line on the blue and the yellow line, and you pull it up and you could put, like, it was a hole for like a rocket launcher thing. My brother jammed crayons into them and stuff. It was just, oh, but they were so good. And then the green and red lines, their heads, they shot off like missiles,
and you'd lose them first.
Yeah. But the black line, though, the body of it was literally a big solid piece of die-cast metal.
The right leg, the screw came off, and because of that, I think it got binned. But back on it now, simple
fixed
screw in
shit.
And fixed, and everything else will connect. But it's gone. Yeah. Like, I haven't found it anywhere.
But no, like the Voltron toy was so heavy and big that you've swung it at anyone, you killed them.
Yeah, you threatened it, and they'd be like, "Ah, it's all right." But look, Rock Lords, at least you'd be like.
There was no. It was literally.
There was. It's a either transformation.
It's a rock. It's a robot. That
whatever
was
the coal one was, I pity. Out they of
made,
all of them,
they made.
I'm made of coal.
Do you remember the Happy Meal toys that they made that were transforming Happy Meal toys?
Yeah,
but they were more fucking intricate than the fucking Rock Lords.
I would say that. Yeah, I just
don't
saying
be bigging up the Rock Lords, man.
Jesus,
what?
Christ.
Well, I'm probably
it
not the only one.
Goes Transformers.
It saved
robots,
a lot of kids' lives, Rock Lords. You know.
Like, that goes against your core beliefs as a Transformers fan.
The and your core beliefs as a man who enjoys killing children, as is well documented by this podcast.
Throwing a Rock Lord and hitting them with someone does not kill.
Rock Lords don't kill.
Don't kill. It's people,
it's people
that kill.
Rock Lords that kill. Oh, man. Rock Lords. Jesus.
Guns don't kill people. Raptors do, man.
I'm sure. Raptors with guns
sure
in space.
I'm sure I
Raptors
have
with Rock Lords.
Gold
Raptors.
Nugget. Is it Nugget or what?
That's another franchise thing we gotta go with Jurassic Park. Eventually, they find an island filled with dinosaurs with a volcanic thing.
It.
And the volcano is filled with Rock Lords.
Oh, I knew he was gonna say that.
In fact, you could probably do that with Fallen Kingdom, because the volcano explodes and that's actually what kills the dinosaurs. It's the Rock
and
Lords.
Some of the humans fall in, but they don't die. They come back as skeleton warriors. Skeleton warriors.
Oh my god.
Sorry, I was talking about that earlier on, so I had to put that in there.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, they do in that show, the toys that made us, they show all of these other cartoons that like that were born after like the likes of Transformers did so well, with the fact that they made these robots and they needed to make a story, and then He-Man was the same. They had these action figures but they had no story. And I remember those He-Man comics that they had of those action figures. They were whopper, but they had nothing to do with the story that came out of the cartoon. They were totally separate.
I do not remember
originally
that.
Originally in the comics that came with the action figures, there was the power, the Sword of Power had two halves, and He-Man had one half, and Skeletor had the other. And Skeletor had to join the swords together in order to open up Castle Grayskull.
So that's where they're
fighting the two swords.
That seems like
in
a better,
toys,
yeah, better
match up. Yeah. Like that.
And they talk about it in it. There's the cartoon Black Star, which is about the exact same thing. It was two swords. It was two swords that were each were a half of a power, one power sword, and it was a villain. And then there was this guy John Blackstar, who was like a Buck Rogers type character that came from our time and went through a wormhole and ended up in this fantastic world. And Filmation were making this cartoon at the time that Mattel came to them and said, "We have this toy line, we want to make it to a cartoon, can you make a cartoon of it?" And they came up with He-Man. I do love the fact though, in the Transformers episode, you get to see the birth of the Transformers from Marvel Comics. In a way, I'm kind of glad that they are going back, as much as I do believe in a great job.
Have they not confirmed they're going back to Marvel?
Have they not?
But it's better.
Lads, I've realised a lot of what we've been talking about in Transformers is what we know in our group and not what's out there in the world.
Really?
Yeah,
but it's nice that they're tying it up and they're finishing it, and that's the main thing, because so many stories are just like, yeah, we can't do an ending, we lost the rights. What? No. But now, but if they finish it and they do reset, it'd be interesting.
Well, I actually had forgotten that's how they came up with the names of a lot of the Transformers, that Marvel were technically responsible.
Yeah, it was handed into fucking shooting at the hip shooters, and he handed it off.
He tried to hand it off. It was like, I got these robots, they need names, I don't want to.
My hope is that the end of Requiem, if they do keep it, the end of Requiem is what's causing this entire change. That's all I'm going to say. I really want to say it now, but
I think that particular show, The Toys That Made Us, it has been on everyone we know what we're talking about, because it's a cracking show.
I needed something
except for that one episode, that weird sculpture.
That was the Barbie episode.
Yeah.
But that was something, you, someone tracked that down. It's some kind of,
no, it is a real thing, but it's just weird. It was just so funny.
They don't explain it. It's just there.
I literally posted that same image you did like months back and went, what the fuck is this?
So I posted this on Facebook.
You scared me. It's a scary picture.
I think she was the CEO of Mattel at the time, or she was the head of a department anyway. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But they're interviewing her about Barbie. And it was a fascinating episode to find out where Barbie came from.
Mm-hmm.
And she was responsible for a lot of the changes in Barbie throughout the years. She wasn't the original creator, but she was responsible for the promotion of Barbie. But they're interviewing her in her fucking Malibu Barbie house that she lives in somewhere in California. And in the background, there's this what looks like...
I can only describe it as a half-deflated Kylo Ren sex toy.
Yes. That's the picture I put up.
That's what it is, right? And it's this thing flopped out on the chair behind her. And it's just there. It's pretty much...
It just draws your eye to it. It's just interview.
Whenever she's talking, I just kept looking at this thing going. And I'm saying to Irie, what the fuck is that thing in the background? And Irie was like, what thing? I said, look, just look to the right of the screen. Like, Irie was actually listening to what your mom was saying about Barbie. And I was looking at this weird shit in the background. And she looks and goes, holy fuck, that looks like the skin of the woman. Because that's what it looks like. It looks like they've skinned the woman and draped the skin over a chair.
If you go back and you look at it again, and you'll realise that it's not there anymore because you didn't blink.
Ah, well, Kieran pointed out as well, he had said something similar on social media a couple of months previous.
Yeah. It's just this whole thing. Everybody,
it was actually a thing. If you go on to the Toys That Made Us Facebook page, there is an entire fucking thread dedicated to this thing, and they never explained it in the episode. It wasn't, they never even, they just let the camera sit there.
They explain afterwards that it was actually a piece of art.
That she bought. There's three of them in the world. Or
what does it say about your show that they had to answer that? Because we all went, what?
Is that a Barbie sex toy?
It does, it looks like a deflated sex toy.
I really love
specifically
Barbie.
A deflated Kylo Ren sex toy.
You can love your toys, because it had the big nips. Love your toys.
But you're like, what the fuck
it's
is
like
this shit?
It's like a deflated Ben Swallow, all right? Yeah. That's what it is.
It's one of those things like where they talk about shit that people see in the background of TV shows. That's one of them. Yeah.
It's like when that lad got his Mickey out in Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Yes. Or in Back to the Future 3 when the kid, at the end of the train, the kid's pointing at his crotch.
He's saying he needs to pee. I had to research that and it's like, no, that was the sign. If you needed to pee, you'd do that. Not while they're filming.
There's loads of them. We got a fair few questions. I think we launch into them because we're recording for an hour now at this stage.
Awesome.
Or 45 minutes. So let's go into questions. Actually, you were afraid of the Concords.
Was that any good?
They did not play Business Time. I was very upset.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How long did they play for?
They played a good solid 2 hour set. It was pretty
really?
Good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what was awesome, what was really awesome, was they had stand up comedians beforehand.
Cool.
And I completely didn't know who the stand up comedians were until they started talking, and one of them was the voice of Eugene from Bob's Burgers.
Ha! Brilliant.
Which was amazing. So Flight of Conchords was great. It was they fucked up so many times.
Did they?
But they were like, they just play it off as comedy as part of the show, like, you know. But like, you know, this is our first time back since he fucked up his hand, and you know, and we haven't practiced, and so they would like roll into a song. They'd get about a minute in, and like fucking Jermaine would just stop and just go, No, we're done now on that one.
Jesus.
Oh, okay. Hence 2 hours.
But it was gas crack. Like, it was really good show. But yeah, they didn't play. There was chance for Business Time, and they were like, as in, we haven't practiced it.
Oh,
it can't be done.
Shit.
You think they would know that?
Apparently, they played it on a Saturday night, pricks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you went on the Friday.
Yeah.
So they woke up going, dude, we need to practice this.
Yeah. And I berate the Flight of the Conchords for not having actual business socks on sale at their merch stand.
It
missed opportunity, lads.
You think they would have felt...
Although they did have enamel pins of just their heads.
Did
right?
you get
and in the middle, it just says, present.
Right, on to questions. From Christian Sabari, colourist on Neon Skies.
Oh, yeah. I know Christian.
Have you read The Magic Order by Mark Millar?
Yes, I have read The Magic Order by Mark Millar. The first of the Netflix comics.
So it's been released under Image, but Netflix have bankrolled it, and it's basically grown up Harry Potter.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And it will be a Netflix series within about 2 years.
Yeah. But it is, it's like everything in it.
Fuck, imagine he can just do that. Just listen to that sentence we just made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mark Millar, right? Mark Millar, he can fucking, because I'm not buying into that Millar stuff. It's Mark Millar. I've met the man.
Yeah, there's only one person I know that calls himself Millar, and he's an ex Boston Red Sox baseball player.
Miller and Millar, it's the Americans that say it that way because he has an A instead of an E at the end, but it's still Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So
Millar World. That doesn't. Yeah. That doesn't sound
Millar World.
Millar World. Millar World sounds better.
So just imagine that. Like, you write a comic, you get fucking top Oliver Cope out, fucking draw it, right?
Yeah.
You say it's bankrolled by Netflix with a guaranteed series in the bag and launches.
But that's
its first.
That's Millar all over there. That's what Image. He does.
That's what he does.
Where
now.
Where did come out?
But he did it with his movie power. Deals as well. He does it with his movie deals as well.
Yeah.
Like, Millar is a law, not a law unto himself, but he is a power unto himself in the world of comics to a point where he can write something, he automatically gets a movie deal. He's able to sell it, and his agent does a great job. Mm-hmm. Whatever he's involved in with the Marv studios, with Matt Vaughn and everything, making his movies with the likes of Kingsman and stuff. Yeah. But Netflix bankrolling a comic that is pretty much going to be a series. But I don't know how.
Well, they bought Millar World.
Yeah, they did. But I don't know how he's getting away with this, and J.K. Rowling isn't suing, because there's so many elements of Harry Potter in there.
Oh yeah,
so many elements.
So when did it come out?
It's only out. The first issue just dropped last week. But I read it and I enjoyed it. It's an interesting read.
Issue.
But there is a bang of Harry Potter off it. The way everyone.
But there's a bang of everything off Millar stuff.
Yeah, he does. There's not. I mean,
look at Wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And what was the one? Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Batman was bad type thing.
The Jupiter Circle is the Justice League. Mm. You know, there's always that evoking something else. Well, that Millar does.
But in the Magic Order. But in this in particular, it's right down to the costume design, the wands.
Mm-hmm.
Just the world that it's in, the way it's, you know, it's heavy, it's violent.
Its visual appearance is a very violent Harry Potter. That's what it is.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. I liked issue one. I will be reading issue two. Mm-hmm.
But then again, in that terms, if you really want to go with it, and I've said this before, and I know the man himself has said that there's nothing to do with it. There's already, you know, Harry Potter existed 10 years before Harry Potter in the Books of Magic.
Yeah, the Books of Magic. Yeah, very much so.
From Vertigo.
Yeah, totally.
Can we talk about Sting?
Sting?
Like, actual Sting? Like, musician Sting?
Yeah.
In cosplay as John Constantine, writing a foreword to the announcement of the return of Hellblazer to Vertigo?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. John, the fucking Sting is actually involved in Hellblazer.
Sting is starting to get a bit prolific in his older age. I was walking through town the other day, and there's this poster around Dublin City about
Mad for the Spice Melange, that lad.
First you get the spice, and then you get the women. Yeah. No, it's
took a second to click what you were on about there.
But I was walking around town the other day, and there is a poster around Dublin City for this gospel musical. And the poster is just a giant cathedral window, stained glass window, and right next to it is a superimposed picture of Sting, because apparently he's written this motherfucker. What's with Sting?
He's so hot
right now.
That's
a larger question. What's with Sting?
That tantric sex is really starting to pay off.
Yeah.
He's a renaissance man.
Like, he did the announcement video, you'll enjoy this, cosplayed as John Constantine.
Did he go full Constantine?
He's basically Sting being Constantine in an announcement video that he's writing a forward for the fucking return of Hellblazer to Vertigo, now that Vertigo is relaunching.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I'll buy that for $1 for sure.
I know the game.
Yeah.
I've stuck with Hellblazer the whole time it's been in the main DC universe, and I'm into it.
Oh no, the relaunch. The new 52 relaunch of Hellblazer was one of the better relaunches of the new 52.
Probably was.
For sure.
Bringing Constantine into the main universe was a fucking.
That whole thing with Swamp Thing as well. That storyline with Swamp Thing was brilliant.
Yeah.
Cracking stuff. Like, Constantine rarely misses the mark for me.
There was a brief run of this run where they hipstered him up a bit and gave him an undercut and a fucking slick back, and I was like, no, that's not
good. No, fuck that noise. No.
But yeah, and had him dealing with hipster demons.
But they did Justice League Dark as well.
What I'm saying. Like, you know, now that it's back to being Hellblazer, it's still Hellblazer now, but putting it back under that Vertigo banner, that's where that book belongs.
They'd want to hit a home run with it though, straight out of the gate.
Yeah, oh no, you can't. But this Vertigo relaunch, they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. They're bringing back the Sandman. They're giving us a Sandman universe.
That's true. I'm looking forward to that.
Giving us, time. You know, I'm Spurrier running the Dreaming. I'm in.
So to answer Christian's question, we have read the Magic Order,
and it's very, very good.
I enjoyed it. I can see a lot of people going Harry Potter, but
I see books of magic in Harry Potter.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
all leads back to
Tom Kelly. This is a deep one. This might be the rest of the episode, but Tom Kelly wants to know, what's everyone's top five graphic novels?
No. I kind of had to do three. Yeah.
That's weird. That's a high fidelity moment, because you're going to make a top five and then you're going to think about it when you go home. No. And you're going to have to, we're going to have to re-record the episode, yeah, totally talking about the top five.
And then we're going to have the argument of, I believe comics are graphic novels and graphic novels are comics. So, you know, does that mean you include single
issues? Can't they both exist? It's just explosions.
Eyehorn is Finkel is Eyehorn.
That's your answer. That's your answer, Tom.
Living together.
That's your answer, Tom.
But I did think about my top five, but when I saw that question earlier on, I was like, I could make a top five, but I probably would disagree with it by the time it gets to recording.
I already disagree with it, except for the first one. I disagree with the other two. I could only.
Hey, I haven't even heard my top five. You're talking about your top five.
My top five. Oh no, I was there.
I was behind you. We all enjoy comics subjectively of each other in a weird sort of conscious stream, and that all graphic novels are both
they're
great
all
and
brilliant.
Crap.
Everyone is energy. We all love each other, really.
Yes.
And
I'm hoping to achieve omnipresent supergalactic oneness.
And eventually, and we will all return to the source.
I've just changed my top one.
Yeah.
I just changed my top one. So you can't. There's no. It's chaos. Yeah. It's always changing.
So nice for trying to. Nice for trying to steer the podcast your way.
Read a comic.
Going into business for himself there.
Did you watch Lucifer?
Fuck no.
I don't even know what a fucking Lucifer is. I do know
it's based on a comic book series.
It's
comic book series.
It
takes the idea of a comic book series. Now, it has its fandom out there, right?
Yeah.
It takes an idea of a comic book series. Do you remember what? Now, I'm not citing this in any way, because I like the movie, right?
Okay.
Because I like the main actor in the film, that everyone knows that I like this man.
You're about to bring up fucking Constantine again, aren't you?
I am about to bring up fucking Constantine.
Jesus Christ.
My point is that
it works if he's Nick Necro.
Yes. So, the John Constantine movie with Keanu Reeves works if
Nick
that
Necro.
Is not John Constantine, but it's Nick Necro.
Okay.
Because there was a brief time when John Constantine's master of sorcery, the guy who taught him everything, was completely and totally, due to a spell, convinced that he was John Constantine. And that man happens to look an awful lot
Reeves.
Like Keanu Reeves.
Okay, cool.
You know what you're saying?
Mm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But that, again, that is generally my headcanon. I did a Darren on this one. When I watched
this
movie,
you have a special
headcanon.
It's
with
okay.
Keanu.
It's Keanu.
Yeah,
it's Keanu.
He's good in everything.
All right. So Keanu makes everything good.
Yes.
And everything that's good is Keanu.
Yes.
Okay.
Even chain reaction.
Even chain reaction. Even Johnny Mnemonic.
Hey,
all
man,
right.
I'm down with Johnny Mnemonic.
Hey.
The Sid Mead art book section of the Johnny Mnemonic art.
I told you it was a pile of shit. Well, he said something similar like
Sinners.
That.
I'm all right with chain reaction. All right. Let me put it this way: anything that Keanu Reeves stars in with Rachel Weisz, I'm okay with.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah, I can argue.
Basically,
with
anything Keanu stars in.
Ray,
I don't
Rachel
think there's anything I didn't like.
Yeah.
Rachel
so,
Weisz.
If we look at the Constantine film, where he is a dark-haired American from LA who's a bit pissed off.
Nick Necro.
And then you look at this Lucifer TV series, which is basically takes the story of Lucifer, who kind of looks a bit like John Constantine in some of the artwork for the Lucifer comic book.
Hey, no, the Lucifer comic book, straight up, he's based on David Bowie.
Yeah, he is. He is based on
Bowie.
But he has the blonde hair, the kind of thing.
Yeah.
When certain people draw him, he doesn't look like fucking Bowie.
He doesn't have blonde hair.
He's not spindly. He's built. Like, he's the fallen angel Lucifer who's on her.
And he's the deal with this is that this comes from the Sandman universe. All right? In that when Morpheus, the Sandman, broke his great love out of hell, Lucifer took that as a sign that his days in hell were numbered, and he closed the gates and walked away. He opened up a jazz bar in fucking Los Angeles, and the comic book that
it's jazz.
This
it's the music of the devil. So
this is all the comic book has in common with the TV show is the basic idea that Lucifer has left hell and owns a bar.
Okay,
all right,
that's it.
Where
Except
everyone knows your name
in Lucifer, they decided to make it a cop procedural show where Lucifer helps the cops solve crimes. Lucifer the comic is not that.
Okay.
Now
here's the thing: would a person that doesn't know anything about the comics enjoy it?
Probably.
And I think that seems to be what has happened, because there is a lot of people that are very happy about the fact that it's been renewed for a season 4 by Netflix.
I was going to jump on it, but then someone said
it's
cancelled. So, but I love Arrow, and there was arguments. I'm noticing that if you don't read a comic, you'll really, really like it. And then you can go and you can read the comics.
I've read multiple Green Arrow comic books and I really enjoy Arrow.
Yeah.
It's an Elseworld story. The thing about Lucifer is that, like Kieran says, they take the basic premise of the idea and then they just turn it into a procedural.
I think I might like it then. If you're saying that Lucifer the comic was good,
Lucifer the comic was good, but Lucifer the show for me, because it's it is so far removed from the comic.
That it's another you know that movie. Is it like if we just change the name slightly, like we do with Constantine? I would enjoy it. If I knew.
Are you looking for reasons for me to justify you enjoying Lucifer?
No,
fuck you, Darren.
Darren, if you want to watch the show, do it yourself.
I want to know if I'm going to get like the time I put into it back, or if I'm going to watch it and kind
of
go.
Well, let me put you this way: a lot of people that really, really, really enjoyed the show, and a lot of them haven't read the comic because Lucifer wouldn't have been.
And then there's the one anomaly of Colleen Doran, who actually worked on the comic but likes the show.
But the show has a lot, has a massive fan base.
Oh, it has a huge fandom.
That it was picked up by Netflix because of that.
That's
fandom.
Why I was going to jump on it, and then I was like, no, it's been cancelled. I was like, okay. No, I just don't like you know getting into something.
At one point
and then
they were going to cross over John Constantine.
Have you been watching Timeless by any chance?
No.
This is the show you've told us about.
Like I just watched. Now I didn't know that the second series was just 10 episodes. I'm watching episode 10, not realizing that it's you know a finale. I'm
far more interesting than Legion.
But I'm watching that as well. I can watch both, but I'm like where they've ended it. I'm kind of like, oh, you better be fucking picked up. I want another series with this show. Like I was like this. I wasn't as on edge when they said, oh no, it's been cancelled with season one. But this is what I'm saying. It's like I can't go through watching another good show and then find out it's cancelled. You know?
Yeah. But we're kind of in the age where that doesn't happen anymore. Like shows. That.
Yeah, Netflix will buy it. They'll buy everything.
But that, people have the hope of Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, or any of those streaming shows, streaming series. Like
and us
platforms.
Living in the age of IP, people don't want another Firefly to happen.
No.
So there's a.
If Firefly had happened now. We would have had seasons two, three, four.
But we got our ending with the movie.
Wasn't a beginning. That wasn't an ending.
That was the end of the first season. The show was meant to go on from there.
Yeah,
you've read the comics,
but
right?
That's why I don't give out the entire thing
is that was the fire that starts the second revolution in the brown coats. That's what it was.
That was just a catalyst, you know?
That was just the
and it goes on
spark.
There's a follow on from that. Have you read all the comic series?
No, I've read. Comics are great. I can't remember. I've read one of the
series. There was the last big series of Firefly comics or Serenity comics,
where essentially Mal is at the head of the, or Mal is
they
brought
start,
in.
They, he brought, he brings back the operative. He brings back a lot of people. Like a lot of people come back that he deals with, and
then he's recruited in.
Then he recruits in, and he makes it, basically makes it a new small rebellion.
Well, the thing is, the rebellion happens without him, but is using him as a fucking symbol.
Uses the Serenity as a symbol,
and uses Mal as being this stand up guy, and. He kind of falls in with them in the form of, you know, this isn't what I wanted, but
he's
now,
a reluctant leader. Yeah. He always has been.
Oh, yeah.
So
He just wants to keep flying. That's all he wants. But he gets drawn into this, and they see him as a leader, and they try to treat him as a leader, but he kind of reluctantly agrees to it.
Not at all like Han Solo in the Rebellion, right?
Not at all. Yeah. But the Serenity comics are cracking. They're really, really good. There are a few questionable stories, like the book story was a bit kind of... I liked it.
The Shepherd book, as in the story of Shepherd book.
Shepherd, the story book, but it was a very compact.
It entirely demystifies Shepherd.
Totally demystifies him.
But, like, in a good way, in my mind.
I think we would have eventually gotten that.
Yeah, it would have been told.
In the show.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was killed off in the film, which pissed off Irene no end because she loved him. Thought he was great. I didn't see why.
But obviously, they do that when, well, we're not making any more, so we're going to hurt you as much as we can.
Well, it's Joss Whedon. Yeah, Joss Whedon is famous for killing
like,
characters.
Look, it was like they landed
and marriages.
And marriages.
They landed a ship. Everything's okay. Next to them, Wash is dead. What the fuck?
That hurt me. The wash death hurt everyone.
Yeah.
Oh no, it wasn't. It was literally out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, boom.
I will never see Joss Whedon rise to prominence again. It'll be fine.
Well, there's talk of him coming back. There's two series that he's working on as executive producer that he's putting his name to, and they're all female-led shows.
Of course they are.
But like, as in the entire cast are female. We'll see how it goes.
Sorry.
That was a bit wacky. That went to a bit dark place there. But I'm not going to give him a free pass because obviously he's, you know, he was a perpetrator of certain things and he is going to have to redeem himself in a big, big way. But there seems to be a kind of an influx in Hollywood now that people have gone away for a short period of time and they're trying to come back and Hollywood's still saying, fuck off. So, you know.
Except for Kevin Spacey, he's never coming back.
He died on his way back
to his home planet.
As did Harvey Weinstein. Let me see now. A couple more questions.
So, sorry, Derek.
Adrian Corkin, thoughts on Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I think we gave our thoughts on a film that we haven't seen and also gave you multiple franchises off the back of that. You're welcome. Darren Maloney, coming close to the next season of Doctor Who, what do you guys expect?
I expect Chris Hardwick to be doing the panel after this week.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the new season of Doctor Who. I really, really am. And the Titan Comics are doing a... Titan Comics are
leading
doing a lead
up to
in
it. Yeah, lead
to
up to it, and then
Doctor, yeah.
Yeah, which I can't wait to see.
Yeah,
I just want it to be
it.
Good. I'll be happy.
Just want it. I'm sending Jason Dropbox.
What?
So yeah, Titan Comics will be doing a lead up to the. They're starting with it next week, I think it is, with the 10th Doctor.
Yeah,
we had it. It
will be done by, I believe, James Peedy is involved, and future Comic City guest Rachel Stock.
So hang on, what I want to know, and you guys will know, I've been staying away just in case I accidentally find out stuff I don't want. Is the comic going to happen before or after the first episode?
Before.
Or do we know? I don't think I'm going to read it until after.
No.
I don't know. Really?
That's not what you do, Darren.
It's not
going to
be a spoiler.
It's precursor knowledge. That's the whole point of it.
It's a lead-in to the new Doctor. It's not going to be like, here are regular spoilers about something that hasn't been put on TV.
This is why I don't read
You know,
Chris
Thompson works there, man. He wouldn't let that shit happen.
It is a worry, because I did used to be, let's read this before the movie, and then, you go and watch the movie.
The Doctor Who comics are done differently. They're separate entities altogether. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't picked it up yet, but Dublin City Comics have been putting it aside for me on my monthly pull list, but the 7th Doctor run.
I've got I haven't read it yet.
Possible future Rogue contributor Jess Martin writing that book.
Well, there was two. I had to go with the Doctor, but there was one with the Doctor and Ace, and I was like, ooh. But it's a big chunky. I didn't know it was just.
It's an annual, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a collection, four stories, miniseries. But no, it's a big annual.
I'm looking forward to Jodie Whittaker taking over the role. I can't wait to see where they take it. It's basically the whole whole time and space is their playground, and I think they're going to utilise it.
I
think Chibnall's going to push it in a different direction than it's
going to. I think the fandom is going to freak the fuck out, as it always does.
I'll be nervous, but
I'm sorry, but I'm sick of fandoms. I am sick of fandoms at the moment.
Fandom has eaten its own tail to the point where we were really happy. Remember that stage when you were existing and enjoying all this fan stuff and you knew nobody else and it's just all yours?
I want to go back to
that.
Then
you went out and you found a community, and the community was great for a while, and then everybody started to disagree about everything, and now you just feel like you want to go back to your cave and just be that guy who just enjoyed it by herself again.
I'm going to steal this. I was chatting to Michael Carroll earlier on. I told him I was going to steal this, so I'm going to steal it. He says fandoms are now full of people who pronounce fandom with a capital F, and they're the people that don't actually participate in the fandom. They just pretend to participate in the fandom, but they don't read the books, they don't watch the films, they don't read the comics, they don't get involved in anything. They just like to latch onto something and claim it's theirs and then destroy it. And I thought that was a very good way of putting things, that they pronounce fandom with a capital F. I think it's just fuck them. That's how I pronounce that with a capital F. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
But it gets,
you enjoy what you enjoy. If somebody tries to be a gatekeeper for something, fuck them.
Talk about the good, not the bad.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to talk about the bad, D-Man, if you want to watch Lucifer, fucking watch Lucifer.
Because there's loads of other lovely shows out there that, as I said, I just found Timeless by accident, and I literally got
it. Tell me no more. Are you watching Into the Badlands?
Not yet, but I will be. It's like, this is what
it's
I'm saying.
It's the best series that wants it to be a Highlander series that isn't a Highlander series.
God,
that's amazing.
Fucking good.
You see that wonderful fucking
Is Nick
fight
Frost in that one?
In the last episode.
There's wonderful fights in every episode.
But, I know, but
I'm not up today.
Is Nick Frost in that one?
Nick Frost is in it.
That's the one I want to jump on, but I just haven't had a chance
to. Towards the end of season 2.
Hang on, there's more than season 2?
No, we're on 13.
Three seasons.
Cool. That's great.
3 seasons at the moment.
Yeah, I'm talking like bang up to date. Like, Jesus, man, you're miles behind.
I am miles behind because I'm slowly but surely feeding myself the episodes.
Yeah.
I don't want it to run out.
So tell me where you're at, just so I don't spoil it. What's like the last thing that happened?
But then it's been a couple of weeks since I watched an episode.
Alright, I'm just going to say it. Does Sonny have a kid yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Thankfully, I'll forget all the names. So
they're out in the world.
Yeah.
They're out in the world.
So they're doing the Lone Wolf and Cub thing.
Yeah, you are doing that. Yes, that's happening.
Yeah, okay.
I am now going to switch to La 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 La.
But Nick Frost is in it. Nick Frost.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I was wondering what he's been doing
down in Wicklow.
Yeah, it's filmed down the road.
I was wondering what he was doing, because when I seen him when Fridden Planet put up the look who came in, I'm like, that's an awesome beard. Yeah.
It's by Alfred Goff and Miles Miller, the people behind Smallville. And it's a fucking it's their own creation.
It's a cracking show.
And basically it's set in the far future world of our world, but there have been so many different apocalypses of different kinds that they've actually recovered from them a little, as in they've established a form of a feudal society.
It's ruled
kind over of, by barons.
Yeah, it's got a similar aspect to it's got a warlord aspect to it, where there's different barons that rule in different areas, and each area has their own commerce. So there was one particular baron that sells poppy
Yeah.
So he sells the drug poppy for drug for multiple reasons. Then you have one that looks after, like, say, the water supply, and one that looks after certain types of food or medicine, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're all spread out. Yeah. And they've all got different territories. So there's a river baron. There's a.
It's a very feudal fighting kind of system.
And they all have what's called.
Clippers,
which are their fighting force.
They're
but they
assassins,
all have
yeah.
different versions of clippers.
Okay.
So they all have different fighting styles and different costumes and different ways of doing
things. Mad into it in that, and hear me out on this, right? If this world was, if you just make the barons immortals, there's a really interesting take on Highlander.
Very much so, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
they probably wanted to go that way, but didn't want to get sued.
Oh man, if you saw these sword fights, you wouldn't fucking dare.
So there's no guns, it's not,
there are some, every type of weapon, but a lot of the first two seasons, it's not hand to hand. There are other types of weaponry in it, but it is the best kung fu action TV series you will ever fucking watch.
Okay, I'll be asking you later what the name is.
Into the Badlands. I watched the first, I just picked it up. I got a promotion of Amazon Prime
from AMC.
Yeah, it's AMC, but it's on Amazon Prime Video, and I got a promotion to get Amazon Prime on mobile devices for like €2 for a year.
Sweet,
which
for
I
year?
Like for a year. So I'm like, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. So I signed up to it, and I just went through the shows, and I was looking at like the lore TV show, which is cracking. A few other bits and bobs that's on there. What's the name? Happen something. There's another one as well. Happen Leonard is a really good show. James Purefoy and your man that was in The Wire, isn't it?
I enjoy James Purefoy and all of his films, especially Solomon Kane.
Yeah, and. Then I stumbled upon Into the Badlands, and I was like, what's this about? Clicked on it, watched the first episode, my mind was just
they really just go with it, they just roll into just it. This is the world
out of nowhere. You're just like, holy shit, this is amazing. Why have I never heard of this before?
And then there's sorcery and mutants. Whoa. And you're like, what? Hang on, there's
it's
these
unreal.
There's these nice. Dark okay. ones,
well,
as they are
saw
called.
Me with the swords, but yeah. if there's magic
oh,
in
man,
it. I'm in.
Oh, badass! I'll and it slowly better. Builds. It slowly
oh,
builds.
Oh, it's very, very slowly.
The world building in it is unreal, and some really familiar faces in it too.
Has Badgie sent the signal yet?
No.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
I'll forget all this time. Yeah.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm deliberately trying to forget it.
I'm feeding myself this show so slowly that I've watched seasons of other shows in between watching episodes of this show. I just don't want it to end. It's that good. It should be on everyone's watches. We've talked about Into the Badlands in this show before.
You did, and I went to research, and that's how I found out about Nick Frost as well.
Everyone should be watching this show. I mean,
Nick Frost playing a drunken master is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Beard again.
The thing about it is that I don't know. It took a while for season 3 to happen, and I had fear that this is why I was drip feeding it, because I had
fear that
I
would get
there was only two seasons and that was it. Because season 2 came out 2 years ago, season 3 only came out this year.
Okay.
So there was a big gap in between it.
That can be worrying, or there could be like we really want to get this right. So
but it's popular.
But you'll see it, I watched that show, and I am so proud of. The production values that are going on in this country.
Yeah, because it's filmed here.
It's filmed here. And
not all of it. Some of it is. Most of it is.
It's props. It's fucking all of that shit.
How many episodes per season?
12, I think.
Oh, nice. Cool. I'll keep you going.
And you see, it's funny, if you follow Daniel Wu on Instagram or Nick Frost on Instagram when they're filming,
they're always all over
the country, like down in Wicklow and Dublin. Like you see them middle of that place. It's mad to see, like, you know. But they only finished season 3 filming season 3 recently, because I remember at the end of the season they were going about the place taking photographs themselves, and in the background you could see the posters for the last referendum we had.
So it was really recent.
But yeah, no, it's Into the Badlands. If you haven't heard of it, if you haven't watched it, if you haven't heard us talk about it on this show before, it's a show that everyone needs to watch.
Sword fights.
Yeah,
you had me on soul fights and mutants and magic.
I suppose that kind of partially answers Megan Cade's question of, can you guys recommend anything good to watch or read? Into the Badlands. If I was to recommend something to read, Lovecraft Country by Matt Ruff, I think is the name of the author. I've talked about that book on the show before. Cracking horror book, really, really well done. Some nice kind of Lovecraftian elements to it.
Nice.
Michael Arbuthnot, been reading more DC trades recently. Can you give a brief overview of the state of the DC multiverse as in the comics? How did a new 52 form, and how did that lead into a rebirth? Jesus Christ.
You want to take us back to there? Jesus, that's God, Arbuthnot.
That's an episode unto itself.
We've already done that
in one of the episodes.
I think you should go back and look at any of the episodes that we've talked about. Actually, no, you can't, because they're not up online.
Bottom line, we're working on it. I really, and I know we're drip feeding them at the moment, we should just fucking lash them all up. But basically, how did the new 52 form? That was an incident with a woman named Pandora unleashing a box of evil. That led to the convergence, in which we discovered that instead of In the new 52 universe, there were 52 versions of reality, and that came following Flashpoint. So Flashpoint led to New 52. New 52 led to Convergence. Convergence
led to Rebirth.
Led to Rebirth. And quite frankly, all of this comes from the fact that we've now discovered that Dr. Manhattan created the DC Universe.
Yeah. Oh, I read issue 4 of
Doomsday Clock.
Doomsday Clock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm really enjoying it. That Joker at the end is looking really well. Mm. And familiar. I don't know why he's familiar to me, but... Actually, do you remember the Predator? The director did a Batman vs. Predator, and there was a Joker in that.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah, well, that was based on Jim Lee's designs.
Oh.
So, for... I know. Yeah, I get your point. I can see that.
But that
was
the one
thing. It looks like Joker
from
Hush,
jumped out at me.
But he's got the big pointy nose and the
white
chin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's got the undercut and the slick back.
Oh, very good.
This is probably the first ever Joker that I've actually read a comic and he's been... Well, sorry, bar the collections I used to read when from...
You see the cover of the next issue?
There's two... I might want to get the...
Rorschach beating the fuck out of Joker. Like, beating the living fuck out of Joker.
I like the way that Batman's... Oh yeah, the Batman was in the ship and he's like chatting to. He's like, Ozymandias. I don't want to say Ozymandias again. Ozymandias. But yeah, it's just annoying. I read it last night because I wanted to talk about it, and I was just like, it's. I can see why they're just drip feeding it.
We now know they're just drip feeding it because Geoff Johns done lost his job at DC Movies is making his own production company so he can write a Green Lantern Corps movie.
Because
that old man, and he's like, going, I don't know, he's just like, oh, I gotta find my friends, I gotta find the magic lamp.
Nobody's talking about the fact that Affleck's out.
Has it been?
It was officially announced last week. He's out of the fucking movies, and nobody's talking about it.
I haven't seen anything about it.
Matt Reeves announced it himself last week. Said Ben Affleck's not doing my movies.
Why?
Because they're doing an entire restructure of DC right now at Warner Brothers. Rumor has it they're going to do the same thing that they're doing at the movies that they're doing with the comics. They're going to announce a black label. And that black label will be for darker, low-budget, rated R DC films. While the main films will go back to
the brighter
tone.
You think this will tie into Vertigo?
DC Black. It's very, very, very strange that we heard about DC Black. And now we're hearing about it at Warner Brothers as well. At the same time, Geoff Johns and Diane Nelson have both left, and they were the two chief advocates of which Batman? Ben Affleck.
It's a shame. I wanted to see more Affleck.
The shift is happening. We're getting, right now, as it stands, we're getting two Joker movies filming in the next 2 years.
Yeah, what the fuck would
that? One with Joaquin Phoenix filming an 80s-inspired gangster movie.
Is that the
Mark
Scorsese? Is that confirmed that it is Joaquin Phoenix?
That is confirmed. It's Joaquin Phoenix.
I don't see that doing.
And the other one is a Jared Leto one.
I wouldn't...
Who wants that? Who wants that?
I think there was layers to that performance, man.
I'm saying it as well.
Farts have layers. My farts have layers. I don't want to fucking relive them.
Your choice, man.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing more. I thought that
there's a lot of people who think Jared Leto should get a fair shout at doing a proper go with the Joker.
I haven't spoken to any of those people. I haven't met any of those people. But
you're talking to two of them right now.
Did you think he was coming?
We both did. You don't listen to us, Wayne.
I said
don't listen to us.
I blacked out.
You hear what you want.
I blacked out.
When someone plays a Joker, they're kind of mirroring what's going on in the world. And I thought that with his Joker, that he was just mirroring the fucking shit out there. And I mean that in the bad world. That's what I got from it, you know. I talked a bit more. I said this. I actually was able to say
this. I know, this is blocking out when we don't agree with him.
But that's why I because he didn't, because I was like, oh,
he's doing it right now. He's not going to remember this entire conversation.
I said it in work earlier on.
Look at his face.
Talking about like the lads are saying that there's three Jokers out there.
There is.
And like, you know, that's why.
He's literally just mustering the skill to fart. That's all he was doing. He's not listening to you.
No, I'm listening to you. I am listening to you.
But no, but like, that's. And
there are three Jokers out there. That's one of the books Geoff Johns is going to write now to these background.
I'd love to see that. But what was. Sorry, back to Doomsday Clock. What was the with that old guy in the lantern? Am I in a different universe where the Green Lantern Corps has not existed or something? Or
no. Like, there's always been a connection between the Watchmen and the fucking DC Universe, and that was the reference of the Justice Society of America. The Watchmen were inspired by the Justice Society comics.
Was it Alan?
And the leader
it?
Of that particular version of the Justice League, or the Justice Society, was Alan Scott Green Lantern.
So there's the Green Lantern Corps and the Guardians, all that, but there is another Green Lantern who was the original Green Lantern.
In current DC Universe, DC Rebirth Universe, there's been no hide nor hair of the fucking Justice Society.
Yeah. So
and I think this
Alan
is how we do it.
Alan Scott's power is based on magic. So he's got a originally
the first
Alan Scott,
Green Lantern wasn't a space cop.
He wasn't.
Oh, so this guy, this old man that you've I'm not spoiling it. You
it's Alan
read that?
Scott.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know from the beginning. He's just gone on about seeing his friends again and find the magic lamp. And I thought he actually was going to find some device.
Sorry. He's Lightning Lad. Or not Lightning Lad. He's a member of the Justice Society. He was now old. But basically, this is Geoff Johns going, "Hi, I'm bringing back the Justice Society."
But I didn't okay. know he was
through
I got,
Doomsday Clock.
So it's not Alan Scott. I'm not reading.
No,
Doomsday
the reference is he's
be.
Looking for Alan Scott.
And so then he has the Green Lantern.
But yeah. he picks it up, and then but as I said, these fuckers come in and start kicking the crap out of him.
Much
and
like
it's just
the death. It's almost like a take on the death of Hollis Mason.
Right. In Watchmen.
In Watchmen, but this guy gets beat to death with Alan Scott's Green Lantern. Yes.
But
right,
he's not. Okay. He gets lamped out. Fucking jockey scumbags.
Fucking
walking
dad
along.
Dad jokes, Talbot.
Hang on. Bastards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm loving it.
More
really
questions.
Enjoying
cool.
Really enjoying it. And the mime. Sorry, what was it? It was mime and.
Bob Hoyne is interested in playing an RPG, not a computer one, but a real one. People sitting around next to you, but don't know a good starting point. What would you recommend? And are you looking forward to Celtic Con? Bob, I would recommend the starter pack for starter edition of the D&D 5th Ed.
Yeah,
because it's a gateway drug. It's basically a kind of an introductory quest. All the character sheets, everything you need is included in it. It's about £25.
As far as I know, Gamers World do once every month or once every twice every month on a Monday. You go into the Gamers World and you play D&D.
Well, this is one he could do. You go buy the D&D 5th Ed starter kit. You can play this in your gaff between 2 and 5 people.
But if you want to get a feel of what actually goes on, I always think it's I remember back in the day I was like, there, you need to know all the rules before you can DM a D&D game. That's a lot of bollocks. I found it very quickly. If you just give the impression you know what you're doing, everything's grand. But just to see if you're kind of drugged, see if you really enjoy it, I would recommend going and just doing it, especially at conventions. You're probably used to it. Go to a convention and do a once off. They're fucking always brilliant.
They do events at conventions. No, but the starter kit, I'd recommend that. The D&D 5th Ed starter kit, that's what it's for.
Yes,
it's reintroducing the new version of D&D to people that may not have played before or may have played before, but it's a very, very easy way of getting into it. Very easy and fun to do as well. See, now we kind of have to wrap it up soon. So we see
more questions.
More questions. Jamie Corr, is there
the wonderful, beautiful Jamie Corr?
Hey, Jamie.
Are there any horror franchises you guys want to see get a reboot, sequel, or a reboot or sequel under Blumhouse, since they're seem to be doing so well? So they're the crowd responsible for the new Halloween movie, Get Out as well.
Do not agree with that film.
Do you know?
Nope. Because that film is going to set a precedent for fucking erasing Alien 3, and I'm not down with that.
How is that going to set a precedent?
Because once that movie goes out there and is successful, suddenly it's going to be okay to just forget all other films and franchises.
They
that
do
you
that
didn't
all the fucking
like.
Time. Isn't Ridley Scott technically kind of doing that at the moment with his current run on Alien?
No. Absolutely not. I've told you exactly how I think that leads into Alien. But
that's a theory.
Yeah.
That's all that is. It's a theory of how it might lead into Alien.
Yeah.
So. But there's no.
But that's not erasing an entire canon of films that came after it.
But how is this?
How are you all right with Season of the Witch going out of continuity?
Season of the Witch is already out of continuity. It sits outside the Halloween universe.
I know, but how are you right?
It's
not all right with films that quite frankly take the fucking like there are a lot of Halloween films. All right.
Yeah.
There's already been a reboot.
There's been three attempts at a reboot.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how I view it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
This is my problem.
Really?
Darren, because this is not how you should treat franchises. This is I'm so against the, all right, we'll just forget all the ones that didn't matter.
Well, not
because all of those films
choice.
Matter to somebody.
But
the
Rob
films,
Zombie,
those films still exist, man.
Rom Zombie,
they
redid
this
it.
Is like, all right, I'm he, sorry, Rob but this Zombie's is like saying, all right, let's just erase Alien 3 and do fucking Blancom's film, which is a
no. I
aliens,
never said. I said that what Aliens.
That's what they
I
have
said.
That,
what
that,
Aliens is.
That,
Aliens is the nightmare that Ripley goes through when she's in cryo. That's the way I view Aliens 3. As soon as I watched it, I said that, and it never got happened. But it's like that's her horrible nightmare. And the way four gets even more fucked up in the nightmare, the way nightmare goes.
But you see, to the that's point you that that's your head canon. The canon. That's
until
not
the director does
there.
It, but I would have laid money on it that that's what he was going to do. Because like, how is Hannah Dix alive?
As a huge fan of the original Halloween movie, I'm not a huge fan of Halloween 2. Mm. A lot of people love Halloween 2. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a set of jump scares with noises. There's actually no, the only horror in Halloween 2 is when the nurse gets her face boiled in the jacuzzi, right?
Yeah.
The rest is just that buzzer in the hospital going off multiple times and Donald Pleasant saying, "I shot him 6 times." And like, it's like,
I'm looking at this new trailer and all I'm seeing is Jamie Lee Curtis taking a fucking paycheck. That's all I see.
Do you not see that? I always because thought that her debt in the original was just, let's get rid of this person.
No, I'm sorry. Injustice. There's only so many times you can go back to the well and say, oh, but we're doing it right this time. Sorry. This is me drawing my line in the sand and going, no.
I view
this is
them
the
as
wrong
all stuff.
Thing to do for this franchise because really? This sets a precedent for other franchises to be okay with doing this. And that's not cool. That stifles creativity. That doesn't encourage creativity. Okay. If you can do a sequel that actually works within the universe that you have spent 20 fucking years establishing through multiple sequels and all that shit, to just this, it's the same as fucking as Disney been in the EU and just going, no. I hate the hubris it takes to go, no, none of that shit matters. I'm not going to do it better.
The thing about it is, though, is that the Halloween franchise, as each film came along, and I'm talking about the original sequels here, they got exponentially worse. Apart from maybe 4, the one with Daniel Harris, which was interesting take
that was
on the
interesting,
idea.
Yeah.
But they got exponentially worse. They tried to reset it with 3, which is actually when you watch 3 with Season of the Witch. There's a scene in that movie where Tom Atkins is sitting in a room with one of the masks on, and he turns on the TV, and Halloween is actually on the TV. Yeah. Halloween is just a movie in that universe. So that's Season of the Witch is completely set aside as a non-existent part of that franchise. Michael Myers doesn't exist in that world, only as a character in a film. Whereas Halloween 2, 3, 4, 5, and whatever, up into H2O, all of that type of stuff, with the original franchise line, exponentially worse movies as they went.
Here's the horrible thing, and I know I enjoyed every, because I got to see a lot of them in the cinema, so and I wanted to see, I know it's, but this is the, again with me, I can like a lot of stuff,
no,
a lot of bad stuff.
Dude,
I wanted
you.
To see a sequel.
I respect
to the, well, here's the thing, I'll agree with Kieran on this. If I had a choice between the one we're getting now or a continuation of where they left off in Resurrection, where they burnt Michael and at the end you see the eye, and I know you're going to say it's weird, but at the time when I came out of that cinema, I was like, I can't wait to see where this is going. So I agree with you on that now we're kind of going, oh, none of that ever happened. I'm like, ah, dudes, you could make it better.
But my words, they'll do it with Alien after this. They will. If this is successful, they'll do it with Alien.
How you go from this straight to Alien, though? Where's the line go from this to Alien?
Because this is what Blomkamp wanted to do.
But this is not Blomkamp. Blomkamp's got nothing to do with
it. But he started
what I'm saying is, comparatively, as a concept in Hollywood.
Right.
We know how Hollywood likes to latch onto a concept if it works. So, we will get a string of fucking... you mark my words. It doesn't matter if it's one studio that does it. Whichever, if this movie comes out and is a rip-roaring success,
it will be.
The justification will then be, oh, we can just if we didn't like that last Star Wars movie, we can just forget it.
Okay, yeah.
If we didn't like that last, Transformers movie, we can just forget it.
Or all of them.
If we didn't like that last Alien movie, we can just forget it.
But isn't that just a weird version of a reset?
Here's the thing, though.
Because you give out about resets, and now it's the evolutionary way.
I think I'm on my own in here. I'm really, really looking forward to this movie.
No,
I can't wait.
Like, all the elements of it should make me love it. I love Danny McBride. I love his writing. I love Halloween. But I saw this, and I just went, this is... in my gut, in my fucking... Maybe it's me being a writer. I don't know. But in my writer's gut, I went, this set's a fucking terrifying.
I can see what he's saying about if you write
about
a movie.
I get it, but I don't see where you draw the line from this film being a success for a small independent film studio to automatically straight away going to, they're going to reboot the Alien franchise because this is a success.
No, I get it.
They've rebooted the Alien franchise now multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is, it sets a precedent for undoing that whole, there's a whole thing out there. Comparatively, and maybe it's all the podcasts I'm listening to, but there's a whole fucking thing out there in the world of, there's a divide in the Alien universe, right, among its fandom.
Yeah.
There's people who are like into 1 and 2, and 3 and 4 can go fuck itself. And then there's those weirdos who prefer the Alien vs. Predator movies. We'll never understand them. And, you know, there's...
Well, hang on, they prefer it more than the Aliens?
They prefer the Alien vs. Predator films to anything else in the franchise.
Okay, no, that's a bit weird. No, I thought that they... No, no, I thought they were in my boat of, like, I like them. It's a nice way to go when you're bored with it, when you eventually watch, you know, Alien for your like fifth time in the week that you want to kind of go on a holiday and watch Alien vs. Predator. But yeah, that's no. No, you can't be aliens.
But I mean, here's the thing though. Like, personally, this is the way I view the Alien franchise as it is, because we're talking about the Alien franchise and about reboots.
Oh, I'm going to get to that Predator trailer. You wait, I'm veering into that in a minute.
Yeah, cool. that's another one as well, right?
Shite.
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about the Alien thing. I personally think Ridley Scott's films that he's currently producing and making and directing are in themselves a soft reboot to the Alien franchise. I think he's going to go in a completely different direction.
No, I think we're going to end in the chair. I think that the idea of this was to tease you into believing that he wasn't heading there, when in actual fact, if you look at the components, the parts, and the fucking devil is in the details with Ridley. The devil is in the details. On our last show, right, I actually meant to bring this up. On our last show, I talked about the fact that I had this theory, right? And I went and watched a whole bunch of new documentaries from Prometheus and from Alien Covenant. And a wonderful little tidbit, because I said, the only thing that's missing is saying that suit that was on the engineers is a biomechanical suit.
You said this,
yeah you said
and
this.
In
yeah.
the fucking special features to fucking Prometheus and Alien Covenant, it is brought up twice by Ridley in two completely separate documentaries about how, oh, that's a biomechanical suit that anybody could wear. We're heading to David in the fucking suit in the space.
But it's
space
the fact that
that's
the
where
alien
he's going.
It ripped out. Like, I got the impression by always watching that alien one. No, this is a little bit more. But when you get to see him in that chair, I always imagine that somewhere on the ship was the alien of that, but we just never got to see it. And
I think that alien was the queen that was on LV-426.
You reckon?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that, actually.
No, that pretty much dawned on me when I saw Aliens.
I thought that she...
No,
because it's in
the
comics.
The queen. She's from...
They come out. She's from
the space jockey. Yeah.
One of the facehuggers latches on as a queen alien one comes out, but we just never got to see that.
We never saw a queen facehugger other than in Alien 3.
But then how did it come out of David, since he is...
Because the suit, the bioengineer suit would do it.
The problem I have about it is, right, there's a multiple reasons why I think this doesn't work. One of them is, the space jockey in Aliens, in Alien, is fucking huge.
He is quite
It's
big.
Fucking huge. It's bigger than the one in Prometheus. It's massive.
And the scale problem is a real problem.
That's
right? It's
what
fucking ginormous. And also, it's fossilized. They carbon dated in the movie.
That can be fucking undone like that.
But they carbon dated in the film
undone
and
like
they
that.
Say that this fossilized and this whatever happened to this creature happened thousands of years ago.
Yeah, okay? But you can undo that, man.
But that's the undo button and that's you can't
and
do
And again,
anything
you're talking about them undoing certain parts of what has been established in order to crowbar in an idea. Which is fair
I'm not
enough.
Saying that I agree with it, but I'm saying that's where I see it going.
I think at the end
of... Do you think we'll get a sequel, though?
At this point, no. At this point, everything Alien is on hold.
And this right here, the fact that Alien, the Alien franchise is on hold...
Is why I'm worried about this
fucking Halloween. And it's been taken out of Ridley's hands. It's probably why you're going in that direction. But I don't see the join between a successful Halloween kind of soft reset.
I'm sorry, you've never seen that what happens when a small independent or a smaller budget... success suddenly reverts out into the entire of the industry. A Deadpool.
Well, I was going to go with Star Wars, but there Deadpool. You go. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about this horror as again. It's. I don't see the correlation between a Halloween successful Halloween film directly pointing at. Let's read.
What's the most successful Halloween? What's the most successful horror franchise in the world, Wayne? Alien.
Is it?
Probably.
But there's probably. Friday the 13th.
If Carlsberg.
If Carlsberg made horror. But the thing, my point is that I don't see the correlation between a Halloween film doing well and doing gangbusters and Halloween time. To them saying that, let's go, I think the seeds are already there for them to want to go reboot the franchise.
It's a precedent.
I don't think that Halloween is making the precedent. I think Ridley Scott making two shit movies makes a precedent for them saying, you know what, really should let Blomkamp make this film.
But I'm not saying it's going to happen on just this franchise. Next we'll be getting the Friday the 13th movie that decides to forget all the other Friday the 13th. Once
they've already done that.
Next
they
we'll
did
be getting
that. They
the
did that already.
No, that was the original.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't what that Friday the 13th movie was, because that was the one that had a Winchester in it.
That was a different reality where he wasn't.
They made a Friday the 13th film. They tried to reset that franchise with Friday the 13th, and instead of making Jason's mother the bad guy like they should have, they made Jason, the fully formed Jason, the hatchet wielding, hockey mask wearing motherfucker.
This is what I'm saying. Now they can do that and just give him a sequel to the ones that they think we all want a sequel to.
Yeah, the good films.
Go back to the classics.
The good movies.
I don't agree with just throwing films out of canon because of that.
So if something is bad and people don't like it, so say for like there was fandom did banding, like, and it was all pure fan theory. It wasn't confirmed. It wasn't said they were going to do it. It was pure wanky fan theory that when Last Jedi came out and it did great money at the box office for 2 weeks and then tanked hard because people hated it. Mm-hmm. They said, why not reboot the franchise from the end of Force Awakens? Why not forget about that? It didn't happen at all.
This sets a precedent for that kind of thing being okay.
This is fans, right? Yeah. My point about the Halloween franchise is the Halloween franchise has been dead a very, very long time. It was dead before World Zombie made his two movies. Right? Yeah. I'm not even bringing them into a
conversation. What was the gap?
We have well established that you like those movies.
But there was a big gap.
I'm not
going
to have that conversation. We've well established you like those films. We've well established that you like trolling me about those two movies. But the point of it is that the Halloween franchise up till Resurrection had died on its arse. They were straight to video releases. I think there was a few maybe limited cinematic releases, but the majority of those movies were straight to video releases. H2O was the biggest release in the franchise because it meant Jamie Lee Curtis was coming back.
I seen them all in the movie,
right?
In the cinema.
I saw H2O in the cinema as well. Because
Resurrection in the cinema. I seen the Resurrection in
H2O was the direct sequel to Resurrection where they killed Jamie Lee Curtis off the roof.
Resurrection was the sequel to H2O.
No, Resurrection. Yeah, that's she dies at the beginning.
You did it the other way.
H2O, she's all, look at me, I'm brilliant,
and then in Resurrection, she dies.
She's like, let's get rid of her
off the roof. She falls off a roof.
It was a horrible ending, and that's why I'm liking this.
It wasn't even the end. That was the start of the movie.
That's why I'm liking. No, I thought she got killed off in a bad way, and I would have preferred them ignoring that.
I'm all on for a badass older Laurie Strode who's been training for 20 years, 30 years, wherever the fuck.
She's just fucking Sarah Connor then.
And there's another franchise that they soft reset as well, Terminator.
Yeah, and how did that work out?
It worked out terribly. Hang on a second, Kieran. When you were off your face on fucking Novocaine, you like Genesis as well.
Listen,
I watched it two weeks ago under the influence of Novocaine.
When I'm on drugs, is not my responsibility. Established.
Oh god!
I watched that 2 weeks ago. Here's the thing, right?
Ask all of my previous lovers.
Jesus Christ. It's not that. Again, this reinforces the point that Halloween is not setting a precedent on this.
It is.
They have already done it before. You're saying it sets a precedent if it's successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other ones that they did, like with Terminator, with the Alien Ridley films, they weren't successful.
But you can do that with time travel.
Matt Smith doesn't even know what he was in those movies.
He probably does, and he's probably disappointed.
Matt Smith thought that was his big break into Hollywood.
Yeah, he thought he was going to go into a bigger role being Skynet, and no. But you see, you can do that with time travel. You can reset everything.
Isn't it mad that Matt Smith was two Doctors ago?
Yeah?
I feel old. I keep on thinking he's going to come back. I don't know.
People still want David Tennant to come back.
Yeah. But he did come back for the tenth.
Yeah, they want to come back full time. Look.
Audios, we can
talk about this till the cows come home, because we have deep love overall for the Halloween franchise. I'm more than happy to watch this movie because I think it's hitting all the right notes as far as a full on sequel to the first movie is concerned.
I can see your fears.
Hey man, you said the same thing about Alien Covenant. Just saying.
At the time you were all like, I have hope.
I'm gonna let it try and dash my hopes for me, but I'll have hope. I'll give something a chance before I damn it.
Although on a side note, if they start
fucking
resetting,
you end up hating this and liking the Rob Zombie ones.
I hope he doesn't. Nothing could make me love the Rob Zombie films.
Here's my problem. They're shite.
They gave him a fucking reason.
They're shite. No, it's not even that.
No, that's what bugged the shit out of me. Evil does not have a reason. Evil does.
They're shite. That too. But no, but here's the thing though, on a side note, if this does do what Kieran fears,
I think the name of this episode has to be on a side note.
They will delete Covenant and Prometheus.
Come on, we all win. Right? If they do go that way. No? No?
Listen, we all know if it isn't a sequel to Aliens, you don't give a fuck, alright?
If it's done well, I would. And actually, as I said, the comics made me really want Covenant to go with what he was promising.
Well, it's kind of like what he said with the expanded universe of Star Wars. And Disney took it over and just went, nah, don't want that. But they've taken some of the best bits of that and put it back into the universe. So they're not completely discarding.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe Jamie Lee Curtis wakes up at the end of this Halloween movie and it's a complete fever dream and she's in the insane asylum at the start of Halloween Resurrection and the end of the film is actually her getting chucked off a roof.
No! She's on drugs after the fall because she survived it. And she's actually in the fucking cast and she's like, oh man.
And it actually turns out she's dreaming that and she turns out to be Alien Ripley and she's actually in the Sulaco and she's flying back and she wakes up and goes, fuck, it was all a dream.
Inception?
And you were there and you were there and as a spinning top, Leonardo DiCaprio walks in and goes, we're going to the island to save the dinosaurs.
And then Deckard shows up and tells us all he was a replicant all along.
Yes, and he fucked the Rock Lord. Folks, this has been Pubcast.
I've been Darren.
I give up.
We're about to get thrown out because Darren whooped.
I did.
Until the next episode, folks.
There will not be one.
Have a good one. We've peaked. We've peaked.
That's it. We can't go anywhere. We can't go anywhere.
All praise the Rock Lord.
But dude, no. Before we'll just ignore this and erase it and do it again.
Well, actually, the sequel for this episode is going to be a complete revamp. We're going to go right back to the start of Pubcast, and I'm just going to record it in my house on Quaaludes. Later, folks.
Later.